Christmas, you'll hear none more astonished than mine. All the things that happened to those people leading up to that first Christmas may have been miraculous, but what happened to me was completely unique. I am Mary, and it began with the wonder of the angel. My father was out in the field, and my mother had gone out to market, and I was at home, mending. But I must admit that I was daydreaming about Joseph, the man I was betrothed to Mary, when suddenly I was startled. There at the door stood a stranger. I thought he must be looking for my father, and I was about to tell him to go, when he stepped through the door, and he said, "Hail, woman richly blessed, the Lord is with you." But who was this? What did he want? He didn't seem dangerous in a threatening way, but neither did he seem altogether safe. He was just different. Then I realized that he was an angel. But what did he mean by calling me the highly favored one? My family wasn't special. We were humble folk, living in Nazareth, not Jerusalem. And you know what they say about people from Nazareth? We're all a bunch of hicks. Well, the angel didn't give me time to think. He said, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus." And then the angel went on to foretell that this son would be the Son of the Most High, and that God would put him on the throne of King David, and that he would reign forever. Do you think all the old prophecies were coming true at once? I had heard the scripture read in the synagogue, and I'd heard my father talking to the men in the village about the Son of David. And once we'd even had a visiting rabbi who told us all about the promises of David and the promises of Messiah. My family traced its ancestry back to David. Could I be living in the time when these things would come to pass?
Son and would rule
forever. And all I could wonder about was how I could get pregnant. But you know, even that detail was a wonder beyond understanding. The angel explained to me that the Holy Spirit would come and the power of God would descend upon me and encompass me and embrace me and enfold me in his love and power. And in the shadow of his overarching Shekinah glory, I would become pregnant. What a wonder. Now, I know that the birth of Isaac to Abraham and Sarah in their old age was miraculous, as was the birth of John to Zacharias and my cousin Elizabeth. But what happened to me was more than miraculous. It was also unique. For this baby would be born in my virginity. He would be conceived without a human father. He would be human and divine. The Son of the Most High God and the Son of a humble Nazarene girl. So I told the angel, "Be it done to me according to your word." Well, you know the rest of the story. Everything Gabriel told me came true. Joseph and I were eventually married, but we did not consummate that marriage until after the baby was born. And that first Christmas night, in the stable while I cuddled my newborn son in my arms, I raised my voice in wonder. We had shepherds who visited us. They had encountered an angel too. In fact, a whole host of them. And they had come to see my baby. And when they left the stable, they were glorifying God and praising him for all they had seen and heard. They just couldn't keep quiet. They told everyone, that the Son of God had come, that the Messiah had arrived, and that we have a Savior. Yes, I remember that first Christmas perhaps better than anyone. While all the others were shouting and praising God, I held all these things in my heart and wondered. I was so young and filled with the wonder beyond understanding. And as the years have passed, that wonder deepens still. I shall always sing. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowliness of his hand.
I'm a craftsman. My hands tell you that I work with tools. You can read the history of my work and the scars and the calluses. I can usually look at a man's hands and read his work. Fishermen have different hands from farmers. I'm a carpenter. I'm from the house and family of David, you know. My name, Joseph, is from the patriarch, doubly blessed, who ensured the success of God's work in his generation. That's all very well, but we can't make any pretense. My hometown, Nazareth of Galilee, is, well, you might say, we're country folk. The people in Jerusalem have a lot of fun with their accent and their speech. But that doesn't mean to say we can't live honest and honorable lives. Honest and honorable. That's a lie. So where do I get off marrying a girl that's pregnant? She was pregnant, you know, before I married her. It was an arranged marriage. Seems like I'd always known that the first son of Jacob was to marry the first daughter of Eli. But the way things turned out, the first son of Jacob, that's me, came along a good few years before the first daughter of Eli. My friends all had wives and children while she was still a little girl. She never did seem much more than a little girl. My friends teased me about getting gray hairs before I got me a wife. But I can take some kidding. We were formally betrothed. The way we do things, the betrothal is a legal ceremony. We may be called husband and wife, although we stay apart until the wedding sometime later. We see marriage as a binding lifelong commitment. We cannot be separated upon betrothal without an official divorce. That's the way we like it, but it's not the way they do it in the countries round about here where they do not know God. After the betrothal, Mary went away into the hill country for a few months to visit her cousins. I was looking forward to her return. But when she came back, it was all too obvious she was pregnant. She was showing honest. Honorable? What do you do? I felt like an angry pregnant girl. I couldn't believe it was Mary either. The way I see it, I had two choices. I could take her before the court of the elders and get an official divorce. I would prove that without involvement on my part, she was found to be pregnant. But that would be hard on Mary and would expose her to the full force of the law. And Moses commanded that an unfaithful wife should be stoned. Now the rabbis had made many exceptions and modifications to that command. So I knew Mary probably would not be stoned, but would be hard on her and her family. Or I could give her a simple bill of divorce. It would clear my name, not officially, but the people would know. And it would be easier on marrying your family. It seemed like the more reasonable choice. I am the voice of reason. But then I had a dream. The angel of the Lord told me to marry her anyway. How could that be? The whole city was already talking about this pregnant girl. And then for me to publicly confirm that I was, in so many words, the father of the child, didn't make sense. But the angel called me son of David. He said that the child growing in Mary was from the Holy Spirit. That we should call his name Jesus, which means God saves. That he would save his people from their sins. I guess if I had some new facts to understand. If God, by His Spirit, had put His child into Mary's womb, then I should agree. If He asked me to be Mary's husband in another household, I had to think beyond my personal concerns. I had a bigger responsibility. How often can God argue with the plan of God? I did not call off the wedding. I let the neighbors talk. One of the hardest things I ever did. Then we went to Bethlehem for the Roman census. The sun was born there. That night, shepherds came. They said angels had come to them in the field and sang about our baby's birth. At 1 week, we took our son to Jerusalem and to the temple. Then it seemed like a good idea to stay on in Bethlehem. Not so many whispering neighbors. A cousin of mine got me a job in the shop of a friend. We would have carried on our life there, but then Magi came from the east. They bowed down before our son on the dirt floor of our house. I don't fully understand it, but apparently their dealings with Herod had put us in danger. I had another dream. The angel told us to pack up and go down to Egypt so as to dodge Herod. I didn't much like Egypt. We found a synagogue and we lived in a Jewish neighborhood. But I began to miss Nazareth terribly. Finally, Herod died. Archelaus' son was the next puppet king. We had to stay out of his way, but we went back to Nazareth, hoping the neighbors would stop whispering about him. We made our life in Nazareth. I took his hands and trained him to the work of a carpenter. The other children came along, some with good, strong hands, able to get everything that a piece of wood has to offer. But not his hands. His hands were made for other business. Business that the angels sang about. Business that brought Magi from the east. Business that makes the 10 crown kings of this world scared. I didn't get to see how it turned out, I wasn't there. But I can usually look at a man's hands and tell you his work. Show me his hands, and I will tell you his work.